This is tape number 2, March the 21st, 1992. The commander's asked for another question. I have a good friend in New Hampshire who is reading the journals and loving them. She previously read a book, Messages from Michael, by Chelsea Quinn Yarbrough, and would like to know if there is any connection between that Michael and the Michael in the journals. Could this question be put to Commander Hatton at some point within a meeting or on one of the proposed questions and answer tapes that will be done in the near future?
I just don't monitor what everyone receives. I have no reason to believe it isn't Michael, but I'm not familiar. Those are some of those questions Sananda would answer more quickly than myself. I don't follow everyone.
I'm not privy to these questions. Are we only using the marked areas?
Oh, let me get her. She's got to learn.
This is the first one. The next one.
My questions and reasons for writing to you are these. Is there any validity, reason, or purpose for the priesthood under the order of Melchizedek? I'm presently reading a book by Friar Paul Blyton titled The Philosophy of Sacramental Initiation. In the title it tells you all. Is there any validity to the sacraments as performed by minister or priest, such as Holy Communion? Is there any validity to solar initiation, such as baptism, illumination, and self-realization? Does a minister or priest serve any needed or worthwhile function? I have felt a drawing or calling towards the priesthood. I have had feelings of being a priest in past incarnations. The vow, as I understand it, once taken, is a vow to be a priest under the order of Melchizedek forever. I feel that I may have previously taken such a vow, but what is the validity of such a vow in these days? No more than it was in those days. You need one vow, and that's your interaction with God. And Melchizedek doesn't have anything to do with it. These are distractions to pull you away. Are rituals valid? Rituals can be a very valid source of spiritual focus. Beyond that, they are valueless. In themselves, they are totally without value except possibly to distract you. You began to rely on a ritual, a habit, a mouthing of words. It is all intent within. Everything is intent within. And if you are called into leadership, I would suggest that you would lead at this time of transition more effectively from outside the restrictions of those bindings. Here's one that Sandy has asked. Can God hate and despise someone or something? Can God feel negative emotion? God can do anything God chooses to do. Although it would never be recognized as hate, God very, very fervently despises evil. That does not mean that he hates or despises the person who creates the evil or causes the evil to be put upon another. but he most certainly despises the act. I don't believe that you could say that God experiences negative emotions. There is a disappointment in the speed with which ones respond in their growing. But that is far overshadowed by knowing the outcome. You are experiencing in life, and God is life. And some of you just get there a little bit slower than others. Here's one from a precious friend who writes frequently. I've been interested in your use of the word pagan. As I recall, in days long gone by in England, the country folk were called Doma. She sits here with one eye open. Well, we'll get by. We're called pagans because in the spring they prayed for a good season to grow crops. In the fall, they prayed in thanksgiving for the harvest. This apparently was not the procedure followed in the cities, probably by why the pilgrims finally had a Thanksgiving day. How does one discern from the Bible what is truth and what is not? You treat it exactly like anything else. Everything must be stood against the commandments. And if they preach wars, it's false. Let us take Abraham and Isaac. That's a good one. That's that one and King Solomon. And in all his great wisdom, we're going to cut the baby in half. And you take one and we'll see which one says calf rope first. That is evil. And Solomon's temple will come back to haunt you till your dying day. It's the same Solomon whose golden temple they want to build on Temple Mount to start the old sacrificial offerings again and blood spilled on altars. That is not wisdom. And for Abraham to be ordered to take his child, a young man, somewhere between the ages of 10 and 12, onto a mountaintop where he laid him on an altar and was going to kill him? Never. Do you hear me? Never would God do that. It has nothing to do with Abraham. It has everything to do with the horror and the terror thrust upon that child. You've got a good set of rules. Thou shalt not kill. It never should have been in question. Never. God does not test you in those ways. Oh, bless this one. We have two things here from Victor. This is from a precious friend who sends regular support in a most personal way. And then he offers, in between times, he offers some good information. And I'll just read it. Herein, another confirmation of one of the commander's revelations that many find too bizarre. They should read The Cloning of a Man to appreciate the simplicity within the technique of this disputed practice. 4 or 5 years ago, Canadian TV network ran a news short of a Soviet Special Forces training camp. The forbidden filming covered a mere 10 seconds. Listen carefully. This one's from Canada. And he's been one of the ones caught up in inability to speak. This film was of a superb fighting force in full combat gear with assault weapons. They poured over a high jump ramp at the finish of a long assault course. I recognized fully trained and seasoned fighters as I had played the same game. All of you in the service have done that, you know. As the camera zoomed in close, in good light, I studied the faces coming off the ramp. Blocky, tough, emotionless, and stony hard, their eyes with chill or heart of stone. Then came the real shocker. Every face was perfectly identical, each to the other. I saw them clearly. And if you stop the tape, you can line them up just like holographs of each other. Here's one from David M.S. Hatton, sir. You mention frequently that your scribes, as well as George and Desiree, are frequently under attack. And this is the same question repeated overly, I guess. Do loyal readers of the journals and Liberator need to worry about being placed under surveillance? And I think I've responded to that. This is the one about the Khazars and the royal family. This is a good point. By the way, let's keep hammering away at the so-called wall of separation between church and state as set up in the once great Constitution. That's in quotes. Challenge anyone, including the questionable Supreme Court judges and all the lesser federal so-called judges, to show us one word, and keep this in your mind, because you are told that you must separate church and state. And that is not the way you will ever change this world. Require that they show you just one word in the Constitution that sets up any separation between church and state. Even low-grade morons, if they read the document and any history, know very well that our founders had but one idea in mind with the First Amendment, namely that Congress could never set up a mandatory national religion. After all, in three decisions, the so-called Supreme Court has held themselves that this is a Christian nation, meaning, I am Hatton, meaning Christ, not the man, the idea. At least once it was such, rather than being that asinine term Judeo-Christian. The reason that I can go with him on the asininity of the statement is that they are totally opposite in concept. And one is an ideal, the other is supposedly a race with a doctrine. At either end of the scale, they are totally opposite one to the other. Nothing can be Judeo-Christian, for oil and water still do not mix. Run some more quotes from the Talmud or the Bible in the hands of its creators. Well, see, he was really right on. They created the Talmud. This book I have, in case you desire some real juicy statements about Christ, Christians, etc., meaning how that book treats the Christian. So that I just appreciate. I don't think that's bad. I don't believe that I need to respond to this one either. It's from our precious ones in South Africa. They're on their way to the final downfall this day of South Africa. the elections are over, you can expect the price of gold to wobble a bit, and then they'll start their thrust to try to show the world all their wonderful goodness and prosperity, and then they'll capture all of the wealth of that nation. In fact, here is a good little... Went through a week or so of feeling absolutely despondent about the situation here and across the world. The resulting depression was very uncharacteristic for me. Last week, Mugabe of Zimbabwe said that land would simply be taken from farmers by the government. By this, he meant the white farmers who stayed loyal to that beautiful country after the socialist takeover, and it's happened. I've already spoken to that one. There is one here that I wish I could share all of it with you. I won't. I can't. It's too long. But I would discuss a little bit about the questions asked of this one, coming from the area of Sedona. In one of those canyons, probably Jack Canyon or Boynton Canyon, is an underground installation deep enough to be safe from floodwaters above and below. And in 1988, housing pulse beam equipment I didn't think we had in 1988-89. The complex, I suspect those aliens are stashed there too, runs as far west as the Navajo Ordnance Depot and connects with the underground installations there built many years ago. All I can do is confirm it. In all areas, there are some aliens stashed there too. Can I ask you for protection, and on what grounds? Just God, that's all. I will have to leave it to you and God as to whether I'm lifted off at all or whether I will be left. Please don't. To suffer the demise of all decency and total descent into hell. I shall count myself extremely fortunate if I'm allowed to be separated for more growth. My placement is up to you, God and Sananda. Blessings unto this precious soul. Now, this one is just amusing. I don't know why I'm buying your material. As I check back issues, you were not too accurate about the U.S.-Iraq Gulf War and related persons and events. Your comments appreciated. Be patient. We're going to make this one. Oh, this one's just goes with the other. Now see, we made it through that, didn't we? Let us be patient with these speakers. Dorma and Desiree had a little bit of time yesterday morning to visit about this. And you see, I want to cover something in just a minute. I want to ask your participation. But Dorma said, well, at least, man, I don't have to do anything. I just go sit down, shut my eyes, and that's it. And that's true, because that allows total separation of my experience from hers for you. I don't want the confusion of combining the two or trying to figure it out. I come only as an instructor and a friend. Desiree's job is different when she gets up before a crowd. She can't sit there with her eyes shut and say, I publish books. And yet she has to depend on Sananda or myself to tell her what to do when the barrage starts against her. And it's hard while your eyes are open and you see them all coming at you with daggers in their hand. Like Abraham, you know, you feel like Isaac, oh, get me out of here. And that's also what's meant by volunteering. And we cross each bridge of growth as we reach it. We don't have to worry about it. You're given what you need at the moment. And these things shall also pass. Now, I believe that on the 12th of April, in the evening, Rick Kuykendall of the Community Church has asked my presence. And I appreciate it. Rick and I really are quite good friends. But he's caught in a physical community church situation. Moreover, he has many Masonic members in his crowd, his congregation. They're not accepted in the other Christian churches in this wondrous community who wires your ignition so that bombs blow up and things. And it's that same Christian community that's going to send ones around to burn out George or get him out of the town, or you're not going to last in this Christian community. Be glad you're not one of those Christians. When we talk Christ, we do not talk Jesus, we talk Christ ideal. And I want you to remember something if you forget everything else I say. Jesus, if he existed, was a man. And you will hear one say, one man was able to change the world. Well, I want to tell you something's going to shock you. There is only one. And you better remember it, because you're part of it. So there's only one. So obviously, yes, that one is going to do something. But one man didn't change the world. Forget it. An ideal changed the world. And that's what you better get working on. You better reclaim that idea. You don't need any men to do it. You have to be born again in that idea of truth. And you can do it. And I would hear some questions. How much time do we have before we overrun this tape? Let's try to keep it to this.
Commander?
Please.
The news item. Ross Perot will be on tomorrow morning on the Brinkley Show at 11 o'clock. And that speech from the National Press Conference will be on tomorrow on C-SPAN at 4 o'clock in the afternoon.
Thank you. And all of you send energy and prayers that intelligence strikes where it belongs. There was going to be a connection made with Greitz and Ross. I don't know if that has been done. George, I haven't been following it. I would ask that someone check with Bo if you can locate him. But Ross has promised to announce a running partner by the end of this next week.
I talked to him. He's got the information.
I'll update as best you can on rights and where he is and what he's doing.
He's speaking tonight in Reno. Will you be there?
Yeah.
And tomorrow night he's going to be in Texas.
I'll be there too.
Okay, that's the two places. That's the only place I know the next 3 days. But he's in Reno tonight. And then tomorrow night he's going to be down in Texas.
Do you have any kind of organization yet?
Well, he's got a lot of people working. There's actually the state of California's campaign manager is in Bakersfield. And was up here the other day. I missed him, but He did get some books.
Yeah. Well, whoever's left around is going to be stuck with God and the host. It's just the way it is.
I have a question.
Please.
About the Vietnamese war and the servicemen that received the microchips. Does that microchip remain throughout the rest of their life, or does it wear out, or is it still effective?
No, it's still effective. It won't wear out.
So they could receive those beams anytime?
Yes. But let me refresh all of you. You have one weapon, and that's truth. When you know what they're doing, they cannot do it to you. You just render it useless. The control comes through the ignorance. You don't know what is happening. And this is what happens to entire societies. And you will have ones doing these incredibly foolish things, mass killings, shootings. These are all triggered. All triggered. Just like they will blame now Space Command. This will seep out and it will get bigger and bigger. That Space Command tinkered with Dahmer. And now look what he's done. He's broken open a razor and he's made a weapon out of a throwaway disposable razor blade. The fact is, this is such a horribly confused entity, he wanted to commit suicide. Yes.
The television show Star Trek: The Next Generation. I was wondering, is there a greater significance to it?
Yes.
And I knew that they also have something to do with the Rand Corporation, and that Gene Roddenberry, I heard, was maybe like an extraterrestrial walk-in or something like that. I was wondering what it has to do with us or.
Well, it is. Let me tell you where Star Trek originally came from. Just as our meetings and our descriptions and various and sundry other things that you are not aware of are rolling onto military and government computers as we go. Quite literally by accident, some of these secret computer disks were accessed, and the Star Trek interchanges were given back and forth, and from there that information began to be leaked out. I am not free to speak about Roddenberry's connections. He's gone now, and I just am not free to speak about that. The first purpose was to begin to allow you to come into the positive aspect of the space connection. Because you must project yourself out into that universal time when ones are going to be guarding those universal spaces, hopefully in freedom. And since there is no time or space, you cannot put a time or space limitation on it. And this is why they will thrust you forward into the 26th century, or let you have time travel back into the 22nd one, or whatever. This is just to begin to open your perception to the possibilities and the realization that that is real. And in this next generation, you are finding more conformity with the players. You will not find one that looks, at least not on my ship, that looks as different as even the Worf. But you will find robotoid beings that will be dead ringers for a Data, for instance. And these ones serve and there is ability for life growth for these precious serpents. They literally can become a breathing, viable human. Yes.
Yes. I have a few things here I wanted to... actually, it's a statement. See, I saw clones in cryogenics up in Stanford and Palo Alto. After I got out of the U.S. Army, I was went into an organization called the Family, a military organization through 101A1. They had me on drugs. I was experimental guinea pig for Vietnam. And to take you off to reprogram you, they have what's called the Family, and I don't know if it still exists, and it actually turned out to be a mercenary group. I was there in 73. I was trying to smuggle out a lot of things there, information. They actually paid for me to take the drugs from sleeping for brain waves, and to see what the speed would do to do all this. They also, LSD, which they admitted a couple of years ago that they did 500 times stronger than the street drugs of LSD and of the Haight-Ashbury day.
Yes.
I was a life member of it. I got out of it real quick. I believe my uncle even came up and saw me a couple of times there. There's a lot I don't remember. And it did turn out to be mercenary. When I first got out of it, when I first came back from wherever I came back, because they gave me hallucinogenic drugs, it started out as a CIA agent. Most people did not know that Fort Ord, right up here, was CIA.
Well, they're going to learn, because I have just listed places, and I'm working right now on revealing all those secrets of the CIA.
And I did not know at the time that, of course, in the CIA I was doing the John Wayne Green Beret and the whole ball of wax there. When I woke up in William Beaumont General Hospital, El Paso, Texas, I woke up, I was strapped in a chair. A young man next to me was still sitting there. They said he'd been given LSD. I know that it was actually given to us through, originally it started out with cigarettes, because I smoked at the time, and they laced it with opiates and marijuana.
They still lace the cigarette wrappers, precious ones, with opium. That's to get you hooked. This is why you ones can't just stop smoking. Go on, please.
Yes, and then he would slap his hands, he would urinate himself. He was a beautiful young individual. He reached down, he slapped his hands on the floor and just licked the urine after he urinated. Okay, this is what I woke up to. I was one, I don't think, who was ever supposed to wake up and come back to my senses. I shake at this, because it really is a lot of things that I feel the need to tell you. This is actually what happens. Okay, I was the only one, let's see, when I was in the hospital, I was strapped in, I think I was the only one who came out, the young man next to me, okay, he would smile, okay, I'll tell you
beautiful.
Oh, in the November issue of Army Times, back in 1987, I showed my wife, Angel, that Thanksgiving issue was stated at last that the government or whoever, will never have another Vietnam, that they messed up, and that they, the vets were never to come home back alive. Those, when we did come back, program their canine dogs, but they would not do it for us. Also, the Army was in Mexico in 67, and a lot of people do not know this, and they did a mass massacre at this university in Mexico City. I don't know if anybody remembers that back in 67.
and they did that as a in the guise of what's his it was riots. And we brought in our men, and they denied it totally.
Shot 150 guys.
Yeah. Totally out. And that was, of course, that was all of the bad Vietnam vets that was supposed to have been somewhere else, like Cambodia. And anyway, I just thought I'd tell you that, because this is stuff I have went through myself. And the lies that they even sent around people telling my family that I had deserted in line of duty. And then nobody understood how come I still get a military pension. I deserted. And I just want to know, to let you know that, it's a lie.
Well, I want you to know that we know that. And this is all going to be brought public. Most of it has been. And the only way that you're going to be able to live with it in any kind of sanity at all is to do just what you just did. It is beyond the capability of those who didn't experience to even comprehend it. And when you say you've forgotten so much of it, they intended you forget all of it. This is the problem with Terry. He is able to remember bits and pieces, but he can't remember enough of it to even accept that he was traumatized. The first contact with me, he said, I was lucky. I was not traumatized. I didn't have these atrocities against me like some of my fellow soldiers. Yes, he did. Every living day is an atrocity against you. And bringing it out in the open and confronting it so that you can look at it in sane light of day, you will never be able to figure out why such evilness exists. But it will help you guard your own sanity. And your brother then can reach out his hand and understand. Well, the mere thought terrifies everybody.
Phoenix is out to a lot of the veterans, VFW, DAV, American Legion. I have a lot of people back east that I get out, and they're understanding, especially the latter ones that I had gotten before I left Pennsylvania, Agent Orange and some of the process going on.
Well, look what Agent Orange and those defoliants are doing to those precious people. The Vietnamese are dying of cancer. And they never had cancer prior to that war. It's horrendous what has come to be on this planet. And it's all in the name of greed and power. Manipulation of lives. It's coming to a halt. And it will come to that halt in your generation. You're either going to turn it around or the halt will be horrendous. But it's going to stop.
Patton?
Yes?
Could you please confirm or affirm whether as to pure silk can protect you against certain rays and beams? And which ones, maybe or maybe not?
Silk?
Pure silk, yes?
I don't know of a thing that pure silk will protect except the silkworm. I'm sorry. I could go to scanners and see if they're treating it some way. But I don't know.
It should supposedly work as a shield because the molecules move very fast. But if you could maybe
well, it might very well interfere with some beams then of some kind. But I guess I deal in big practical things. I don't.
It's just for our protection.
I know. Ones want, purple lights, and if I wear this or if I eat that. And these may have some, even at some point, some significant impact on the system. Mm-hmm. But basically, it's just you and God, friend. Mm-hmm. You have a body, and you have a soul. And you don't have anything special that's going to get you to God. You're already there. You just have to open up and recognize it.
Yes, I was thinking about maybe making the journey easier.
Well, I will tell you this, that if you have a beautiful silk garment, you will be a lot better looking. There is nothing quite as wondrous as the silk. Yes, that's all right.
In regards to, at one time you explained the ideal of church and state, how it should be ideally in the Constitution, and you explained it really well, and I would like you to do that again for the benefit of new people and perhaps on the tape. Because when I first heard it, I thought it, you have to keep church away from the state. You know, I thought that was reasonable. But then when you explained it, then it made sense. So would you please do that?
Well, I don't know if I can repeat it.
Okay.
I can tell you what it, principally, that it must be. Once you have separated state away from the ideal of Christian, which you call religion, you have just separated God right out of your life plan. You cannot just go to church on Sunday morning and call that a relationship with Christ, because Christ is an idea. It is a state of being. And it is a perfected state of being to which you must effort to acquire for self. And when you separate that from your life experience, you've just separated out the only important thing in your existence. Now, I will say this, that if you are talking about separation of church as you recognize it and state, you're just as well off, I suppose. Because they both are out to acquire the same thing, and that is control of your soul.
You want God, a nation under God.
You must be a nation under God. Undivided under God. Because ultimately, the division will come between those who are with God and those who are against God. And I even hesitate to use the term because it has been so tossed about until it's an embarrassment as a term. And it's because they have intended that it represent an embarrassment to you so that you won't use it.
Don?
Yes?
The last meeting you mentioned that all the journals and John Coleman's book and everything was just scratching the surface.
Yes.
Could you give us like a hint of other things to come, or if that's possible?
Yes, I fully intend to bring you all right up to date, right aboard ship. These are the spiritual connections with your cosmic brotherhood. There will be a separation on this place, regardless of what you may anticipate, and you need to begin to have that unfolded. And once again, you ones, you volunteers, you remnant, you see, there can be this flexibility of your perceived time as various sequences of experiences flap in the wind, if you will, according to the whim of the multitudes, or the plan 2000, and I hope all of you had your ears open when Mr. Bush spoke of 2000 last night. And this changing world, you've got to change, you know. The important stuff is coming up. And Sananda, this Christos, now having achieved, you need to know that relationship, and I will speak of it just very briefly in passing here. This is his major thrust. I have been asked, well, is Aton the god of planet Earth, for instance. No, you're dealing with a much higher creation source. Sananda, as you recognize as Isu Emmanuel, come Sananda, is particularly active and now will become as God creator within this realm. So I guess for your practical purposes, you can say this entity, this Sananda, now one in the perfection of God, is returning to reclaim this property, if you will, this creation, this thought manifest back within its perfection. So much of the most precious writings probably will come from Sananda as he lays forth the instructions, because he's captain of the ship this time.
Excuse me.
Yes.
This is tape number 2, March the 21st, 1992. The commander's asked for another question. I have a good friend in New Hampshire who is reading the journals and loving them. She previously read a book, Messages from Michael, by Chelsea Quinn Yarbrough, and would like to know if there is any connection between that Michael and the Michael in the journals. Could this question be put to Commander Hatton at some point within a meeting or on one of the proposed questions and answer tapes that will be done in the near future?
I just don't monitor what everyone receives. I have no reason to believe it isn't Michael, but I'm not familiar. Those are some of those questions Sananda would answer more quickly than myself. I don't follow everyone.
I'm not privy to these questions. Are we only using the marked areas?
Oh, let me get her. She's got to learn.
This is the first one.
My questions and reasons for writing to you are these. Is there any validity, reason, or purpose for the priesthood under the order of Melchizedek? I'm presently reading a book by Friar Paul Lytton titled The Philosophy of Sacramental Initiation. In the title, it tells you all. Is there any validity to the sacraments as performed by minister or priest, such as Holy Communion? Is there any validity to solar initiation, such as baptism, illumination, and self-realization? Does a minister or priest serve any needed or worthwhile function? I have felt a drawing or calling towards the priesthood. I have had feelings of being a priest in past incarnations. The vow, as I understand it, once taken, is a vow to be a priest under the order of Melchizedek forever. I feel that I may have previously taken such a vow, but what is the validity of such a vow in these days? No more than it was in those days. You need one vow, and that's your interaction with God. And Melchizedek doesn't have anything to do with it. These are distractions to pull you away. Are rituals valid? Rituals can be a very valid source of spiritual focus. Beyond that, they are valueless. in themselves they are totally without value except possibly to distract you. You began to rely on a ritual, a habit, a mouthing of words. It is all intent within. Everything is intent within. And if you are called into leadership, I would suggest that you would lead at this time of transition more effectively from outside the restrictions of those bindings. Here's one that Sandy has asked. Can God hate and despise someone or something? Can God feel negative emotion? God can do anything God chooses to do. Although it would never be recognized as hate, God very, very fervently despises evil. That does not mean that he hates or despises the person who creates the evil or causes the evil to be put upon another. But he most certainly despises the act. I don't believe that you could say that God experiences negative emotions. There is a disappointment in the speed with which ones respond in their growing. But that is far overshadowed by knowing the outcome. You are experiencing in life, and God is life. And some of you just get there a little bit slower than others. Here's one from a precious friend who writes frequently. I have been interested in your use of the word pagan. As I recall, in days long gone by in England, the country folk were called Doma. She sits here with one eye open. Well, we'll get by. We're called pagans because in the spring they prayed for a good season to grow crops. In the fall they prayed in thanksgiving for the harvest. This apparently was not the procedure followed in the cities, probably by why the pilgrims finally had a Thanksgiving day. How does one discern from the Bible what is truth and what is not? You treat it exactly like anything else. Everything must be stood against the commandments. And if they preach wars, it's false. Let us take Abraham and Isaac. That's a good one. That's that one and King Solomon. And all his great wisdom, we're going to cut the baby in half. And you take one and we'll see which one says calf rope first. That is evil. And Solomon's temple will come back to haunt you till your dying day. It's the same Solomon whose golden temple they want to build on Temple Mount to start the old sacrificial offerings again and blood spilled on altars. That is not wisdom. And for Abraham to be ordered to take his child, a young man, somewhere between the ages of 10 and 12, onto a mountaintop where he laid him on an altar and was going to kill him? Never. Do you hear me? Never would God do that. It has nothing to do with Abraham. It has everything to do with the horror and the terror thrust upon that child. You've got a good set of rules. Thou shalt not kill. It never should have been in question. Never. God does not test you in those ways. Oh, bless this one. We have two things here from Victor. This is from a precious friend who sends regular support in a most personal way. And then he offers, in between times, he offers some good information. And I'll just read it. Herein, another confirmation of one of the commander's revelations that many find too bizarre. They should read The Cloning of a Man to appreciate the simplicity within the technique of this disputed practice. 4 or 5 years ago, Canadian TV network ran a news short of a Soviet Special Forces training camp. The forbidden filming covered a mere 10 seconds. Listen carefully. This one's from Canada. And he's been one of the ones caught up in inability to speak. This film was of a superb fighting force in full combat gear with assault weapons. They poured over a high jump ramp at the finish of a long assault course. I recognized fully trained and seasoned fighters as I had played the same game. All of you in the service have done that, you know. As the camera zoomed in close, in good light, I studied the faces coming off the ramp. Blocky, tough, emotionless, and stony hard. Their eyes would chill a heart of stone. Then came the real shocker. Every face was perfectly identical, each to the other. I saw them clearly. And if you stop the tape, you can line them up just like holographs of each other. Here's one from David M.S. Hatton, sir. You mention frequently that your scribes, as well as George and Desiree, are frequently under attack. And this is the same question repeated overly, I guess. Do loyal readers of the journals and Liberator need to worry about being placed under surveillance? And I think I've responded to that. This is the one about the Khazars and the royal family. This is a good point. By the way, let's keep hammering away at the so-called wall of separation between church and state as set up in the once great Constitution. That's in quotes. Challenge anyone, including the questionable Supreme Court judges and all the lesser federal so-called judges, to show us one word, and keep this in your mind, because you are told that you must separate church and state. And that is not the way you will ever change this world. Require that they show you just one word in the Constitution that sets up any separation between church and state. Even low-grade morons, if they read the document and any history, know very well that our founders had but one idea in mind with the First Amendment, namely that Congress could never set up a mandatory national religion. After all, in three decisions, the so-called Supreme Court has held themselves that this is a Christian nation, meaning, I am Hatton, meaning Christ, not the man, the idea. At least once it was such, rather than being that asinine term Judeo-Christian. The reason that I can go with him on the asininity of the statement is that they are totally opposite in concept. And one is an ideal, the other is supposedly a race with a doctrine that either at either end of the scale, they are totally opposite one to the other. Nothing can be Judeo-Christian, for oil and water still do not mix. Run some more quotes from the Talmud or the Bible in the hands of its creators. Well, see, he was really right on. They created the Talmud. This book I have, in case you desire some real juicy statements about Christ, Christians, etc., meaning how that book treats the Christian. So that I just appreciate. I don't think that's bad. I don't believe that I need to respond to this one either. It's from our precious ones in South Africa. They're on their way to the final downfall this day of South Africa. The elections are over. You can expect the price of gold to wobble a bit, and then they'll start their thrust to try to show the world all their wonderful goodness and prosperity. And then they'll capture all of the wealth of that nation. In fact, here is a good little... Went through a week or so of feeling absolutely despondent about the situation here and across the world. The resulting depression was very uncharacteristic for me. Last week, Mugabe of Zimbabwe said that land would simply be taken from farmers by the government. By this he meant the white farmers who stayed loyal to that beautiful country after the socialist takeover. And it's happened. I've already spoken to that one. There is one here that I wish I could share all of it with you. I won't. I can't. It's too long. But I would discuss a little bit about the questions asked of this one coming from the area of Sedona. In one of those canyons, probably Jack Canyon or Boynton Canyon, is an underground installation deep enough to be safe from floodwaters above and below. And in 1988, housing pulse beam equipment I didn't think we had in 1988-89. The complex, I suspect, those aliens are stashed there too, runs as far west as the Navajo Ordnance Depot and connects with the underground installations there built many years ago. All I can do is confirm it in all areas. There are some aliens stashed there too. Can I ask you for protection, and on what grounds? Just God, that's all. I will have to leave it to you and God as to whether I'm lifted off at all or whether I will be left. Please don't. To suffer the demise of all decency and total descent into hell. I shall count myself extremely fortunate if I'm allowed to be separated for more growth. My placement is up to you, God and Sananda. Blessings unto this precious soul. Now, this one is just amusing. I don't know why I'm buying your material. As I check back issues, you were not too accurate about the U.S., Iraq, Gulf War, and related persons and events. Your comments appreciated. Be patient. Where this we're going to make this one. Oh, this one's just goes with the other. Now see, we made it through that, didn't we? Let us be patient with these speakers. Dorma and Desiree had a little bit of time yesterday morning to visit about this. And you see, I want to cover something in just a minute. I want to ask your participation. But Norma said, well, at least, man, I don't have to do anything. I just go sit down, shut my eyes, and that's it. And that's true, because that allows total separation of my experience from hers for you. I don't want the confusion of combining the two or trying to figure it out. I come only as an instructor and a friend. Desiree's job is different when she gets up before a crowd. She can't sit there with her eyes shut and say, I publish books. And yet she has to depend on Sananda or myself to tell her what to do when the barrage starts against her. And it's hard while your eyes are open and you see them all coming at you with daggers in their hand. Like Abraham, you know, you feel like Isaac, oh, get me out of here. And that's also what's meant by volunteering. And we cross each bridge of growth as we reach it. We don't have to worry about it. You're given what you need at the moment. And these things shall also pass. Now, I believe that on the 12th of April, in the evening, Rick Kuykendall of the Community Church has asked my presence. And I appreciate it. Rick and I really are quite good friends. But he's caught in a physical community church situation. Moreover, he has many Masonic members in his crowd, his congregation. They're not accepted in the other Christian churches in this wondrous community. Who wires your ignition so that bombs blow up and things. And it's that same Christian community that's going to send ones around to burn out George or get him out of the town, or you're not going to last in this Christian community. Be glad you're not one of those Christians. When we talk Christ, we do not talk Jesus, we talk Christ ideal. And I want you to remember something if you forget everything else I say. Jesus, if he existed, was a man. And you will hear one say, one man was able to change the world. Well, I want to tell you something that's going to shock you. There is only one. And you better remember it, because you're part of it. So there's only one. So obviously, yes, that one is going to do something. But one man didn't change the world. Forget it. An ideal changed the world. And that's what you better get working on. You better reclaim that idea. You don't need any men to do it. You have to be born again in that idea of truth. And you can do it. And I would hear some questions. How much time do we have before we overrun this tape? Let's try to keep it to this.
Commander?
Please.
A little news item. Ross Perot will be on tomorrow morning on the Brinkley Show at 11 o'clock. And then that speech from the National Press Conference will be on tomorrow on C-SPAN at 4 o'clock in the afternoon.
Thank you. And all of you send energy and prayers that intelligence strikes where it belongs. There was going to be a connection made with Greitz and Ross. I don't know if that has been done. George, I haven't been following it. I would ask that someone check with Bo if you can locate him. But Ross has promised to announce a running partner by the end of this next week.
I talked to him. He's got the information.
I'll update as best you can on Greitz and where he is and what he's doing.
He's speaking tonight in Reno. Will you be there?
Yeah.
And tomorrow night he's going to be in Texas.
I'll be there too.
Okay, that's the two places. That's the only place I know the next 3 days. But he's in Reno tonight. And then tomorrow night he's going to be down in Texas.
Do you have any kind of organization yet?
Well, he's got a lot of people working. There's actually the state of California's campaign manager is in Bakersfield. And was up here the other day. I missed him, but he did get some books.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, whoever's left around is going to be stuck with God and the host. It's just the way it is.
I have a question.
Please.
About the Vietnamese war and the servicemen that received the microchips. Does that microchip remain throughout the rest of their life, or does it wear out, or is it still effective?
No, it's still effective. It won't wear out.
So they could receive those beings anytime.
Yes. But let me refresh all of you. You have one weapon, and that's truth. When you know what they're doing, they cannot do it to you. You just render it useless. The control comes through the ignorance. You don't know what is happening. And this is what happens to entire societies. And you will have ones doing these incredibly foolish things, mass killings, shootings. These are all triggered. All triggered. Just like they will blame now Space Command. This will seep out and it will get bigger and bigger. That Space Command tinkered with Dahmer. And now look what he's done. He's broken open a razor and he's made a weapon out of a throwaway disposable razor blade. The fact is, this is such a horribly confused entity, he wanted to commit suicide.
Tom?
Yes?
The television show Star Trek Next Generation, I was wondering, is there a greater significance to it?
Yes.
And I knew that they also have something to do with the Rand Corporation, and that Gene Roddenberry, I heard, was maybe like an extraterrestrial walking or something like that. I was wondering what it has to do with us or the general.
Well, it is. Let me tell you where Star Trek originally came from. Just as our meetings and our descriptions and various and sundry other things that you are not aware of are rolling onto military and government computers as we go. Quite literally by accident, some of these secret computer disks were accessed, and the Star Trek interchanges were given back and forth, and from there that information began to be leaked out. I am not free to speak about Roddenberry's connections. He's gone now, and I just am not free to speak about that. The first purpose was to begin to allow you to come into the positive aspect of the space connection. Because you must project yourself out into that universal time when ones are going to be guarding those universal spaces, hopefully in freedom. And since there is no time or space, you cannot put a time or space limitation on it. And this is why they will thrust you forward into the 26th century, or let you have time travel back into the 22nd one, or whatever. This is just to begin to open your perception to the possibilities and the realization that that is real. And in this next generation, you are finding more conformity with the players. You will not find one that looks, at least not on my ship, that looks as different as even the Wharf. But you will find robotoid beings that will be dead ringers for a Data, for instance. And these ones serve. And there is ability for life growth for these precious servants. They literally can become a breathing, viable human. Yes.
Yes. I have a few things here I wanted to, actually it's a statement. See, I saw clones in cryogenics up in Stanford, Palo Alto. After I got out of the U.S. Army, I was went into an organization called the Family, a military organization through 101A1. They had me on drugs. I was experimental guinea pig for the throne of Vietnam. And to take you off to reprogram you, they have what's called the Family, and I don't know if it still exists, and it actually turned out to be a mercenary group. I was there in 73. I was trying to smuggle out a lot of things there, information. They actually paid for me to take the drugs from sleeping for brainwaves and to see what the speed would do to all this. They also, LSD, which they admitted a couple of years ago that they did 500 times stronger than street drugs of LSD of the Haight-Ashbury day.
Yes.
I was a life member of it. I got out of it real quick. I believe my uncle even came up and saw me a couple of times there. There's a lot I don't remember. And it did turn out to be a mercenary. When I first got out of it, when I first came back from wherever I came back, because they gave me hallucinogenic drugs, I started out as a CIA agent. Most people did not know that Fort Ord, right up here, was CIA.
Well, they're going to learn, because I have just listed places, and I'm working right now on revealing all those secrets of the CIA.
And I did not know at the time that, of course, of the CIA, I was doing the John Wayne Green Beret and the whole ball of wax there. When I woke up in William Beaumont General Hospital, El Paso, Texas, I woke up, I was strapped in a chair. A young man next to me was still sitting there. They said he'd been given LSD. I know that it was actually given to us through, originally it started out with cigarettes, because I smoked at the time, and they laced it with opiates and marijuana.
They still lace the cigarette wrappers, precious ones, with opium. That's to get you hooked. This is why you ones can't just stop smoking. Go on, please.
Yes, and then he would slap his hands, he would urinate himself. He was a beautiful young individual. He reached down, he slapped his hands, and on the floor and is licking the urine after he urinated. Okay, this is what I woke up to. I was one, I don't think, who was ever supposed to wake up and come back to my senses. I shake at this because it really is a lot of things that I feel the need to tell you. This is actually what happens. Okay, I was the only one, let's see, when I was in the hospital, I was strapped in, I think I was the only one who came out, the young man next to me, okay, he would smile, okay, I'll tell you. Oh, in November issue of Army Times, back in 1987, I showed my wife, Angel, the Thanksgiving issue was stated at last that the government or whoever, will never have another Vietnam, that they messed up, and that they, the vets were never to come home back alive. Though when we did come back, they would be program their canine dogs, but they would not do it for us. Also, the army was in Mexico in 67, and a lot of people do not know this, and they did a mass massacre at this university in Mexico City. I don't know if anybody remembers that back in 67, and they did that as in the guise of it was riots. And we brought in our men, and they denied it totally.
Shot 150 guys.
Yeah. Totally out. And that was, of course, that was all of the bad Vietnam vets that was supposed to have been somewhere else, like Cambodia. And anyway, I just thought I'd tell you that, because this is stuff I have went through myself. And the lies that they even sent around people telling my family that I had deserted in line of duty. And then nobody understood how come I still get a military pension. I deserted. And I just want to let you know that, it's a lie.
Well, I want you to know that we know that. And this is all going to be brought public. Most of it has been. And the only way that you're going to be able to live with it in any kind of sanity at all is to do just what you just did. It is beyond the capability of those who didn't experience to even comprehend it. And when you say you've forgotten so much of it, they intended you forget all of it. This is the problem with Terry. He is able to remember bits and pieces, but he can't remember enough of it to even accept that he was traumatized. The first contact with me, he said, I was lucky, I was not traumatized. I didn't have these atrocities against me like some of my fellow soldiers. Yes, he did. Every living day is an atrocity against you. And bringing it out in the open and confronting it so that you can look at it in sane light of day, you will never be able to figure out why such evilness exists. But it will help you guard your own sanity. And your brother then can reach out his hand and understand. Well, the mere thought terrifies everybody.
Phoenix is out now to a lot of the veterans, VFW, DAV, American Legion. I have a lot of people back east that I get out, and they're really understanding, especially the latter ones that I had gotten from left Pennsylvania, like Agent Orange and some of the process going on.
Well, look what Agent Orange and those defoliants are doing to those precious people. The Vietnamese are dying of cancer. And they never had cancer prior to that war. It's horrendous what has come to be on this planet. And it's all in the name of greed and power. Manipulation of lives. it's coming to a halt. And it will come to that halt in your generation. You're either going to turn it around or the halt will be horrendous. But it's going to stop. Yes.
Could you please confirm or affirm whether as to pure silk can protect you against certain rays and beams? And which ones, maybe or maybe not?
Silk?
Pure silk, yes.
I don't know of a thing that pure silk will protect except the silkworm. I'm sorry, I could go to scanners and see if they're treating it some way, but I don't have any, I don't know.
It should supposedly work as a shield because the molecules move very fast, but if you could maybe...
Well, it might very well interfere with some beams then of some kind, but I guess I deal in big practical things. I don't...
Just for our protection.
I know. Ones want, you know, purple lights, and if I wear this or if I eat that. And these may have some, even at some point, some significant impact on the system. Mm-hmm. But basically, it's just you and God, friend. Mm-hmm. You have a body. And you have a soul. And you don't have anything special that's going to get you to God. You're already there. You just have to open up and recognize it.
Yes, I was thinking about maybe making the journey easier.
Well, I will tell you this, that if you have a beautiful silk garment, you'll be a lot better looking. There is nothing quite as wondrous as the silk.
I have a question.
Yes, Desiree.
In regards to, at one time you explained the ideal of church and state, how it should be ideally in the Constitution, and you explained it really well, and I would like you to put that again for the benefit of the new people and perhaps on the tape. Because when I first heard it, I thought it, you have to keep church away from the state. You know, I thought that was reasonable. But then, when you explained it, then it made sense. So would you please do that?
Well, I don't know if I can repeat it.
Okay.
I can tell you what it principally, that it must be. Once you have separated state away from the ideal of Christian, which you call religion, you have just separated God right out of your life plan. You cannot just go to church on Sunday morning and call that a relationship with Christ, because Christ is an idea. It is a state of being. And it is a perfected state of being to which you must effort to acquire for self. And when you separate that from your life experience, you've just separated out the only important thing in your existence. Now, I will say this, that if you are talking about separation of church as you recognize it and state, you're just as well off, I suppose. Because they both are out to acquire the same thing, and that is control of your soul.
So you want God, a nation under God.
You must be a nation under God, undivided under God, because ultimately the division will come between those who are with God and those who are against God. And I even hesitate to use the term because it has been so tossed about until it's an embarrassment as a term. And it's because they have intended that it represent an embarrassment to you so that you won't use it.
Don?
Yes?
The last meeting you mentioned that all the journals and John Coleman's book and everything was just scratching the surface.
Yes.
Could you give us like a hint of other things to come, or... if that's possible.
Yes, I fully intend to bring you all right up to date, right aboard ship. These are the spiritual connections with your cosmic brotherhood. There will be a separation on this place, regardless of what you may anticipate, and you need to begin to have that unfolded. And once again, you ones, you volunteers, you remnant, you see, there can be this flexibility of your perceived time as various sequences of experiences flap in the wind, if you will, according to the whim of the multitudes or the Plan 2000. And I hope all of you had your ears open when Mr. Bush spoke of 2000 last night. In this changing world, you've got to change, you know. The important stuff is coming up. And Sananda, this crystals, now having achieved, you need to know that relationship, and I will speak of it just very briefly in passing here. This is his major thrust. I have been asked, well, is Aton the god of planet Earth, for instance? No, you're dealing with a much higher creation source. Sananda, as you recognize as Isu Emmanuel, come Sananda, is particularly active and now will become as God creator within this realm. So I guess for your practical purposes, you can say this entity, this Sananda, now one in the perfection of God, is returning to reclaim this property, if you will, this creation, this thought manifest back within its perfection. So much of the most precious writings probably will come from Sananda as he lays forth the instructions, because he's captain of the ship this time.
Excuse me.
Yes.